The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Romans chapter 5. Now, of course, we know the book of Romans was written by Apostle Paul, and he's speaking to the Roman church. He's teaching them and training them in the incredible grace of God and how God has given us the opportunity to become and be called the sons and the daughters of Almighty God. First thing I want us to look at is verse 1 and 2. It says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by the faith unto his grace, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." I'm going to go on to verse 3. "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance." Now, to begin with, the Apostle Paul tells us in this scripture, we are justified by faith. Justified, according to the biblical dictionary, is to declare, pronounce one to be just, righteous, or just as he ought to be. To judge, regard, or treat as righteous and worthy of salvation. Justified, you know, everybody knows what it means to have your margins justified. Tammy's a real stickler about this. She likes to have that done when she produces anything, paper, have some writing. She likes for them all to be justified. It's kind of a pet peeve with her. Merriam-Webster says that justify is to prove or show to be just, right, or reasonable. It means to be in line. That's what it means to be. And according to a biblical definition, it means to be just as if you've never sinned in the sight of God. Isn't that an incredible thing that we can be justified in the sight of our living God? We're reconciled to our God by faith in Jesus Christ because of his incredible grace, just as if you never sinned. The scripture tells us that you've been, I've been, everyone who receives Christ as their personal Savior is justified. And we have the grace of God to thank for that. Grace is the unmerited favor. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. No one deserves what God did for us by sending his son, Jesus Christ. But he sent it. He sent him so that we could have salvation and relationship with him. Let's go on and read 3 through 11. "Not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." We have hope because we have a Spirit of God living in us. "For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." Amen. We qualify for this because Christ died for the ungodly. I'm the ungodly. I was. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through God, through him." How many are glad you're saved from wrath? Amen. Hallelujah. We are saved from the wrath of God. And the Word of God is very clear. The wrath is going to be poured out upon all sinners. All who are not justified by the blood of Jesus. And we're saved from that wrath. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, that whom we have not received, we have now received the reconciliation. We are reconciled to the living God. Every person who has received Christ is reconciled to Him. We are now, according to the Scriptures, according to Galatians, we are blessed with Abraham. We have the same blessings that Abraham received from God. Wherever he went, whatever he touched, would prosper and would be blessed. Every person sitting in here, if you have Christ as your personal Savior, you have more blessings in your life than you realize. And sometimes you're not receiving all the blessings because you're not expecting the blessings. You don't have the expectation that God wants to bless you. That God wants to fulfill all these things in your life. That God wants you to recognize who you are in Christ. You are a son, a daughter of the Most High God. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let me tell you something. Well, let's go back. Let's look back at Romans chapter 4. Because I want you to see that faith has always been the key to being right in God's eyes, to being justified. It's always been faith, even in the Old Testament times. However, in the New Testament, God gave us a person, Jesus Christ, to put our faith in. In the Old Testament, they put their faith in that same person, they just didn't know who He was. But they had a promise that God was going to send a Savior to save the world. Abraham himself. It says it in Romans 4, 1. Look at this. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed the living God. That he was going to do what he said he was going to do. And he believed that the promised one was going to come. And it was all by faith because he had nothing to base it on other than the Word of God. Right. You have nothing to base your faith on. Right. Except the Word of God. But that's powerful. Amen. That is so powerful. Amen. There's all kinds of evidence of Christ walking this earth. There's all kinds of evidence of biblical things being actually taking place. The biblical stories that we read, that they for so many centuries they said that there wasn't a king of David. Well, King David that lived in around Palestine, and now they've discovered printed articles and tablets with information about King David on it. Jericho is a good example. They could never, for many, many years, they said that was just a made-up story. They've never found any evidence. And in the last, 20, 30 years, they found evidence of the city of Jericho. And the walls, just like the Bible said, were pushed down. Not falling over, they were pushed down. They can't explain it. They can't explain it because they're ignorant of the Word of God. Amen. And they don't want to accept the power of God. God is alive and well today. And if we can believe in His Word and we can trust Him, we can walk in His power to overcome the things of this world. And believe me, this world is trying to suck you in. They're trying to defeat you. The enemy has a plan to destroy your life, but the good news is Jesus Christ is stronger than the enemy. And when you put your faith in Christ, you will be an overcomer.
That's good. That's good. That's good.
You're more powerful than the enemy. And we're battling the enemy right now in this church, in every Bible-believing church across this nation and in the world is fighting the enemy to hold fast to the good things of God. The enemy comes in. I believe the Word of God says he comes in like a flood. But God will raise up a standard against him. Amen. Isn't it wonderful that I don't have to do the battle? I don't have to actually take on the responsibility. All I have to do is trust my God and believe His Word.
Right.
Trust my God and believe His Word. Trust your God and believe it. Today He's saying to someone in here, trust your God and believe His Word.
Right.
No matter what's going on. See, what I'm talking about, the humanists and the Darwinian evolutionists, they don't want you to believe this stuff. They want you to believe that your ancestors oozed out of some primordial swamp and evolved into apes and then became humans. What a ridiculous story that is. How is it that we are so brainwashed that we can believe that nonsense when there's absolutely no evidence? They cannot find any evidence for their belief system. It's made up. Where on the other hand, there's plenty of evidence for creation. And the reality that our God created mankind, that our God created man and all the animals after their kind. That's why, you know, we don't have freaks running around all over the place.
Right.
Half human, half apes. Half horse, half fish. Half anything. It just doesn't happen. Because evolution is a lie. I'm going to tell you something. If you believe evolution in any form, you need to do some research. Do a little bit of research and find out just how much a lie evolution is. Because I believe you can find way more evidence for creation than you can for evolution. There's no room for the slightest teaching of evolution. Now, I've talked to Christians, and, you know, they want to believe this or not, but I don't have room for it in my theology. And that is that God, yes, God created everything, but He put evolution into effect. And that's how the earth became populated, and that's how everything evolved. It became, but yes, there was a great creator. I don't have room for that in my theology. Because the Bible says very clearly, God created, and on each and every day, it tells us what He created. I choose to believe the Word of God. The atheist, Bertrand Russell, said, unless you assume a God, now this is an atheist saying this, unless you assume a God, the question of life's purpose is meaningless. Isn't it true? You think about it. Okay, why? Why is it in our society that life seems to be so easy to abort children, to shoot somebody, to take a life, go through all these things that are taking place in our society? Do you know that, man, as far as the crime rate in our nation, it's out of control. And it seems that nobody holds life sacred anymore. A person can get shot for not giving up their shoes to somebody that wants them. What a crazy world we live in. Life is not sacred. No wonder life is not sacred. We're teaching our children that there's no reason for life. We just evolved out of a slime pit. Man, you can believe that if you want, but my ancestors were not slime.
Amen.
They were created in the image of God. And they walked upright before Him. Amen. And I mean that in more ways than one. My true ancestor, Abraham, was my ancestor. David was my ancestor. My true ancestors walked upright on two legs and upright righteously before God. Hallelujah. That's a good thing. That's what we can talk about, and that's what we can tell our children, and that's what we can instill in people. But I want to tell you something. We live in a crazy world, and you know what? One of the things that they're trying to do right now is they're trying to create or find a way for eternal life aside from God. There's research going on right now. Let me give you some topics of articles that I picked up. Scientists find elixir of eternal life. And you never believe it. They found it in a worm. Crazy. Berkeley Science Review, an article called Chasing Immortality. Here's another one. Science finds a gene trigger which answers eternal life. The technology of eternal life. These are just articles that I picked up. Immortality as a possibility for human life. Stem cells and eternal life. Listen, I would bet that we would be amazed how close they feel they are to being able to increase people's age. It's crazy what is going on in our world. The scientific world has been given vast knowledge. God has expanded people's knowledge, and instead of using it to help mankind, what are we doing? We're doing it to flaunt our knowledge in the face of God. Here's the craziest one I found. Scientists studying Ozzy Osbourne's genes for secrets to eternal life. And as I read a little bit in this article, it's because they can't figure out how the guy could do so many drugs and alcohol and still be as healthy as he is. Sheesh. This is the world's dream, to be able to live forever without the intervention of Almighty God. Well, I got news for them. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. The only ones that are going to live forever are going to be those who put their faith in the living God through His Son, Jesus Christ. The Word of God is very clear. Very clear. If that doesn't happen, you're going to be cast into outer darkness in the lake of fire where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Terrible torment and pain. I once read a story about a rabbi. He was sitting next to an atheist. They were on a train ride, and the rabbi had his family with him. And these two guys were discussing, and they were talking about God. Of course, they were both, they spoke well to one another, and they were not arguing. They were just discussing their belief system. And throughout the whole train ride, they were just back and forth. And as they were traveling, the rabbi's children would come up and say, Father, is there anything we can do for you? And his grandchildren, Papa, is there anything we can do for you? You need anything? And toward the end of the ride, the atheist turned to the rabbi, and he said, I'm just so amazed at the respect that your children, your grandchildren show you. Mine they act like I don't even exist. And the rabbi said, well, there's a reason for that. To my children and my grandchildren, I am just one step away from the giving of the law when God spoke to Moses and gave the law. I'm just one step closer to that in the creation of mankind. To your children and your grandchildren, you're just one step closer to an ape. Think about it. That's what we're instilling in our children. No wonder it's so easy not to show respect. Life has no meaning. Believers are reconciled, but we, as believers, are reconciled to the Father. Back to Romans 5. Verse 12 says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, and sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense, for if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from the one offense and salt resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as though one man's offense, judgment, came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But there sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, so even grace might reign through righteousness, through eternal life, to Jesus Christ our Lord. Because of this incredible grace of God, believers have this relationship with the Father. And our ability, and not only are we have a relationship, not only are we reconciled to the Father, but we have a face-to-face relationship with our living God, which is made abundantly clear in this passage. Adam disobeyed God and imparted a virus in us, a sin nature, but Jesus Christ came and took care of that and set us apart for those of us who receive and believe. You see, the only way to repair that breach that took place with Adam was for God Himself to come to this earth and die for us. He had to stand in our place. God sent His Son, shed His blood, and He wiped away all of our sin. We are justified. However, being justified brings about something even more astounding. And if you turn back to Romans 14 again, we see this. Romans 14, 18. Who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken. They're talking about Abraham. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced that he had promised what he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus, Lord, from the dead, who has delivered up because of our offense and was raised because of our justification. Hallelujah. Our relationship is renewed. We're, because of the grace of God, because of the relationship we have, we are justified in the sight of our God. And our relationship, anytime you see therefore, you got to go back there and read what therefore means. That's why we went back to verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 18. We also see that we're not only justified, but we are made righteous, right in the sight of God himself. Plain and simple, righteousness is right standing with Almighty God. In the ancient world, when a man was accused of something and he was brought before the king, he would come into the king humbly. He wouldn't even look at the king. He would bow his head. He would humbly come into the king. He was expecting judgment. He was hoping for the grace, mercy and grace. Very often, most often, he would get judgment. In our case, there's nothing but grace when we humbly come to our God. In the book of Samuel, there's a great story about this. It's the story of David and his relationship with the king's son, Jonathan. Jonathan was the king's son. And David and Jonathan had a relationship that was very unique. They loved one another. They had a very strong bond. And of course, Jonathan was the was Saul's son. He ended up dying in battle with his father. But he had one son, Mephibosheth, who was left. All the others had been killed. He was left, and he was, as his maid was carrying him out, she dropped him and he was crippled. By this time, by the time David set up his kingdom, Mephibosheth was probably a young man. Unable to care for himself. He had to have somebody take care of him. And suddenly one day, David said to himself, I wonder if there's any relatives of my good friend, Jonathan, still alive. And they searched the kingdom and they found Mephibosheth. And they brought him before the king. Of course, Mephibosheth was expecting the king to take his life because he was the heir to the throne. And instead, David showed him grace and mercy and took him into his house and he fed him and he became a part of the royal household. This is what I'm trying to tell you this morning. That's just an example of what happens to us. We become a part of the royal household of God. It's good stuff for us to know that our living God has brought us in to be sons and daughters, not just servants and paupers in his kingdom, but sons and daughters of the living God. Amen. That's exciting.
Yes, it is.
Hallelujah. Believers are reconciled. Believers have relationship with the Father. And the third thing I want to share with you, believers are empowered to fulfill our calling. Turn to with me to 2 Corinthians. Verse 1 says, for we know if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed. And mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. We have the Spirit of God in us as a guarantee that we have a heavenly home. So we are always confident, knowing that we were at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. That should be our ultimate goal in life. Be pleasing to our Heavenly Father. No matter what we're doing, wherever we are, there is no time that we can let our guard down and think, well, I'm just going to please myself. That's not what God calls for in our life. It's to please Him. We cannot allow our selfish desires and ambitions to get in the way of our ultimate goal, and that is to please the living God. For we must all, listen to it, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. This is talking to Christians. Whether you like it or not, there is going to be some kind of judgment on you. Good or bad, based on the way you have conducted your life here on earth. I don't like that. I would like to take that out of the Bible and not have to read that, not have to talk about it. I like the message that God's grace is so good that it's greasy and we're going to slide right in to our reward without any effort. But it's just not true. It's not what the Bible teaches. It teaches that we do have to put forth some effort. We are saved by the grace of God, and that's very greasy. I want you to know that. I mean, I was working in the garage the other day, and I got a little bit of grease on the floor, and I stepped in it. Let me tell you something. Grease is slick. It'll make you slip and slide all over the place. And even beyond that, my mother wants to kill me when I do that. Get grease all over her garage. But it's greasy. And the reason we say it's greasy is because you get to slide on it. When we had our grandchildren in our came from Texas to visit. Of course, Beth and Brady's kids were there, and we got the plastic out for them, made them a slip and slide about 25 feet down over the hill. And what we discovered was the plastic wasn't quite slick enough. So what we had to do was go in the house and get some cooking oil and spread on it. Man, did that work? It was great. They just went scooting down that hill. It was a lot of fun. They had a great time. They were able to slide to their destiny. I'm going to tell you something. Because of the grace of God and Jesus' blood, you do get to slide into heaven. There's no doubt about that. But once you get there, if you've not been conducting your life according to God's will, guess what? You're not going to be real happy with your reward or your punishment, whatever it might be. I'm not sure exactly how all this works. I'm not trying to tell you that, you know, God's going to give you lashes for doing things that you shouldn't have. But I can tell you for sure the Bible teaches that you're going to get rewards for doing what He wants you to do, what He expects of you, conducting your life according to His will. Listen, I'm telling you this stuff this morning because I care about you. I love you. I want you, I want every one of us to stand before the living God and have Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. You did a great job. Enter in. I've got many rewards for you. Hallelujah. I want to rejoice when I get there. And be excited about all the great things that I've been storing up in heaven. I want my treasure to be there.
That's right.
Not here on this earth. And I'm not saying you can't have stuff. Don't misunderstand me. I'm saying our ultimate goal is to please our God and do what He wants us to do. We are empowered. Let me give you a few scripture. We are empowered to fulfill our calling. 1 Corinthians 2:5, that our faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Don't let the wisdom of men get in the way. There's much wisdom that men are trying, or at least they think it's wisdom, that men are trying to teach and push on people today in our society. It's there, it's the world's wisdom. But it's not by that kind of wisdom that we're going to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. It has to be by the power of the living God.
Yes, sir.
2 Timothy 1:7 says this, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Romans 15:13, "Now let the God of hope fill you with all joy, peace, and believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." You see, we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you.
Amen.
And it's that power that gives you the ability to live the life God wants you to live. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and guess what? Joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy. You have everything that you need to serve your living God. You've been empowered. You've been equipped. You've been able, enabled by Almighty God. Turn back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I know I'm having you look at a lot of scripture this morning. Chapter 3, verse 1. Verse 10. "According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, each one's work." Now, this is what I was telling you. This is what the Word of God teaches. "Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire." You see, there's going to be some burning that's going to take place. And it has nothing to do with your salvation. That's all about Jesus. But there is going to be some burning. And if your works burn up, you're going to feel that. But if they endure, it tells us that we're going to receive reward. "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that Spirit of God dwells in you?" Hallelujah. Therefore, we can expect and have expectation of the great rewards that God is sending for us. We have a responsibility. I'm calling you this morning to recognize that we have a responsibility to be salt and light to this world that we live in. Wherever we go. We have the relationship. We've been reconciled. We've been justified. We are righteous in the sight of God. What does the world see when they see us? Are they seeing love, compassion? Or are they seeing condemnation? It's up to us. We are the example. We have to live by it. I don't know how many of you, a few years ago or several years ago, Charles Barkley was a player, basketball player in the NBA. And one of the things with Charles Barkley was that he did some things that they said, you're not being a very good example. And Charles Barkley said, I'm not supposed to be somebody's role model. Well, he was wrong. He was supposed to be people's role model. He was put in a position because of his talent and his ability to impact people's lives. And I think Charles Barkley has come to that realization these days. He grew up some. But the reality is, we are role models. And we're supposed to be setting an example for others, no matter how difficult it may be. And sometimes it is very difficult. Stand with me. I'll wrap things up this morning. Sometimes we have to do things that there are consequences for. I'm talking about making right decisions. When you make the right decision, there are negative consequences. But it's still our responsibility to make the right decision. In the 1500s, there was a Protestant reformer by the name of Hugh Latimer. He was a very popular reformer. He spoke often. He was a very, very gifted man. And one day, he was given the opportunity to speak to King Henry VIII. And when he was preparing his message, he heard a voice say to him, "Remember, King Henry is a very powerful man. If you say something wrong, he can take your life." And the message that he had been given, he knew it would not be very popular with the king. And then he said, "I heard another voice." The other voice said to me, "Remember, you are a representative of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Make sure you please him." He gave the message that God gave him that day. Not long after that, he lost his life because he was faithful. I'm telling you, it's not always pleasant to do the right thing. It's not always easy. It's not always what I want to do. It doesn't always feel good to my flesh. But it's always right in the kingdom of God. Please, your living God. Let's pray. Father, you're an awesome, mighty God. I just praise you this morning. I ask, Lord, that you guide and direct us and help us always to serve you. Serve you no matter what the cost. That we recognize that we've got to put aside this world and look to serve you and do what is right. Many times people will not understand. But if we walk righteously in your grace, I believe the ultimate outcome will be people's lives will be changed. So we ask this morning, Father God, that you just go with us. As we leave this place, we're going to be going back out into the harvest field. And there's many out there that they need you. Help us to be light. Help us to be salt. Help us to be an example. And to say and to do what is right before you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to have our elders, prayer warriors, to come up. If anybody has any prayer needs, please feel free to come.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I'm excited about 2013 and what God is doing in and with the body of Christ. The world is in turmoil, but Jesus promised us he has overcome the world. Proverbs tells us to trust in the Lord with all our heart, and he will direct our path. I pray this message will help you find God's path for your life. If you'd like to know more about the ministry of Bethel Worship Center, please visit our website at bethelwc.org. Have a blessed day.